It's a very deep question of whole civilization. The fundamental motives in individuals is a kind of an examination of what man is, what he should be doing, how he should live in the earth. The facts of injustice are plenty in this world. And if you are taught, don't allow injustice, allow it, don't worry, be peaceful. It's a big question of cowardice and strength and justice and the capacity to go right up to the end until justice is obtained. Not only fight against injustice, you see that injustice is rooted out. Go right up to the end. Do you want children not to have this capacity when you teach them peace? What kind of peace? What is the content of peace that you want to give to your children? What's your curriculum? How will you teach peace? I think that everybody will agree that if the war is not inspired by expansion, domination, exploitation, but if it is for the sake of establishment of justice, war is quite justified. You have got to... Good morning. You have got to tell the children, be warriors, my children. You have got to. There is no question about... This is a very important item of your education. If you can't produce a race of heroes and warriors, is education justified? You want to produce cowards who run away? Yes?
Sir, in this I'm reminded of Mahatma Gandhi's quote. So he said that it's better to be violent and spread bloodshed instead of wearing a cloak of non-violence to hide your impotence. So it's very important for us not to be cowards.
Good. It's one answer to the question at a certain level. And yet the question is still deeper. You are strong and yet you do not war. Then what is it? You are strong. You must fight or you must not fight. It was a question of being coward and strong. Now the question, you are strong. You should fight or not fight. That's the question. Huh? Supposing you are strong, should you fight or should you not fight? What's the message? Between the two answers is given. Therefore, it's a half answer. If your choice is between cowardice and strength, then of course strength is to be preferred. As the question, if you are strong, whether you should fight or not fight, and this is the question before you, what will you do? Fight, fight for what? No peace. No, no. The question is,
sir, yes? It's like one who is strong, it is more likely that the justice will be given.
That he will?
That if a person is strong or in power, it is more likely that the justice or the motion of the house will favor. So, to carry peace, it is easier for a stronger person or a powerful person because already the consensus in his favor.
It may not be. Kauravas are much larger number. They did not justify Pandavas to fight at all. They are very happy when Arjuna was about to go. They say war has ended now, it's the very first step. So consensus is not the answer. You have to answer the question fundamentally. It is very truth you have to answer the question. Now you have more complexity in the question. Is fighting violently, fighting in non-violently? It's a further issue. I can fight by oratory. I can defeat you in argument and then I submit. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there is a fight between Gargi and Yajnavalkya. A debate between the two. Ultimately, Gargi announces her defeat. And the debate is over. It was a non-violent fight. There was no taking the sword and cutting off the head. So this is a further issue. Even if you grant there should be fight, question is whether you should fight violently or non-violently. It's a further issue. What is violence? When I kill a mosquito which is biting me, is it violence or non-violence? Am I to fight with a mosquito violently or non-violently? Should I at all? Why should I kill the mosquito? They also have a right to exist as much as I have a right to exist. Unless you have thought over these issues quite you can't make a curriculum. To make a curriculum is a very great responsibility. The answer to all these questions will arrive only if you go into the depths of what human being is, what he is supposed to do on this earth. And how he can be helped. Unless you answer these questions, the other problems will not be answered. Even today in villages, children are being beaten up if they can't answer the question. It's a violent method of teaching. And this is quite good. No? Children don't learn unless they are beaten. It's an idea. I'll teach a lesson. How do you teach a lesson? There are many ways of teaching lessons. So let us now come to some definitive answers. Every human being in the world is a growing individual. This is the basic fact. When you make a syllabus, you should have some incontrovertible propositions. And it's a basic proposition. Every individual in this world is a growing individual. Mm-hmm. every individual ought to grow. On this proposition, there is no question. Every individual is a growing individual, he ought to grow. The question is, what is the length and breadth of this growth? To what extent he should grow? If there is any limits. Or he should grow infinitely. And if he is to grow infinitely, how can one develop infinitely? Principally, the answer is that every individual must grow infinitely. Limitless growth for every individual. That's why we say that universalization of being is the highest goal of every individual.